When coronavirus forced Governor Gretchen Whitmer to issue stay-at-home orders, there were a number of other orders aimed at protecting essential workers who had to show up. Among them, a moratorium on returning cans and bottles to grocery stores for deposits. Well, as of June 4th, that order was lifted, and you may once again make those returns. But there are still many grocery stores that haven't done so. They haven't made that available. They're not required to until June 15th. The impacts of this executive order could have more lasting impact. I'm David Fair, and this is Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU. Our guest today is Scott Breen. And Scott is the Vice President of Sustainability for the Can Manufacturers Institute. Thank you so much for the time today. I do appreciate it.
Thanks, David. Thanks for having me.
Well, Scott, we've all read the reports of significantly increased beer and alcohol sales during the stay-at-home orders. Did production of cans actually increase during that period?
Yeah, we've shipped more cans. Sales have increased because, like you said, beer sales, soft drink sales, as people have been at home, they've wanted to have delicious beverages in cans to enjoy while they've been at home.
Now, I've seen estimates that Michigan residents are sitting on about 500 million returnable cans stockpiled during quarantine. Finally, people are beginning to redeem those cans and bottles, but that's about $50 million worth of returnables. Have you ever seen anything like that in your career?
I have not. I mean, that is a lot of cans and bottles, that half billion number that you mentioned. And, you know, we want to recycle those cans. There's a significant environmental and economic impact that comes when you recycle cans in terms of the environmental impact. When you make a can from recycled material, that means more than 90% greenhouse gas emissions, more than 90% energy savings versus making that same can from virgin material. And then in terms of the economic impact, we recycle 45 billion cans a year in the United States. That's like 12 packs per person every year. That's worth $800 million. And it's typically the most valuable material in the stream. And those cans from the deposit system are very clean. And it's important that we get those cans back from Michigan so that we can make new cans out of them.
We're both talking in such big numbers. I think it might be a little bit overwhelming. Just on a one-can basis, how much of that can is made from recyclable materials?
Oh, great question. So the average recycled content, so when you're holding a can in your hand, 73% of that can is made from recycled material.
And how much of that is from the cans we return to the stores for our 10% deposits?
Well, I will say that 43% of the can is made from post-consumer material. The rest is other kinds of scrap. And we, in terms of the amount of used beverage cans that come from deposit states in general, the 10 states that have deposits, 40% of the cans that we recycle, so 40% of that 45 billion number I was talking about, come from just those 10 deposit states.
So, as you have pointed out, the industry is dependent on the deposit and return program for the supply chain, right?
That's right. I mean, we're not anticipating any shortages, but we want to keep that recycled content at like that 73% number, very high, get that environmental and economic impact. And key to keeping that recycled content number that high is getting recycled cans back, and deposit systems are a critical part of that.
Our Issues of the Environment conversation with Scott Breen continues on 89.1 WEMU. Scott is Vice President of Sustainability for the Can Manufacturers Institute. Now, I know a lot of people just held on to the returnables and are prepared to take them back now. Anecdotally, though, I also know a good number of folks that were just putting the cans in their curbside recycling bin, donating them to charities, or simply throwing them out with the garbage. Are you worried that happened with a big enough percentage to impact your production process?
So we don't anticipate the production process. We don't anticipate can shortages. But yes, our hope is that if the local redemption center isn't open, as it wasn't in Michigan for quite a while, that people are either holding on to them or that they're putting it in their curbside. The issues there with curbside is that not everybody has curbside.
Right.
And then in terms of holding on to them, you know, there was a Wall Street Journal article that focused on Michigan. And, you know, you've got people saying, hey, you know, I don't want all this stuff in my garage, you know. So people only have so much space.
Now that we are starting to see those cans be put back into the cycle, how long do you anticipate getting back to pre-pandemic recyclable levels?
So we hope to we are putting in more scrap and trying to keep the recycled content number high. At the same time, we were talking earlier about more consumption at the residential home. We've heard from some material recovery facilities where the single stream materials go, that UBC numbers have actually increased. So our hope is that the deposit systems come online, just like you said is going to happen in Michigan, and then we get back to normal pretty quick.
Now, I would assume that when you have to use those virgin materials and make new can product, it becomes more expensive than relying on the return and recycle program, correct?
So I know that when you make a can from recycled material, you get that environmental and economic impact. And I believe it is also cheaper to use recycled material.
So is this going to result in at least short-term price increases for canned beer and soda?
That is not something, again, because we don't anticipate shortages of cans, we don't anticipate having that sort of price increase.
Issues of the Environment continues on WEMU, and once again we're talking with Scott Breen, the Can Manufacturers Institute's Vice President of Sustainability. As you've mentioned, there are nine other states besides Michigan that have can and bottle redemption programs. How does Michigan stack up in its efficiency and success with the program?
Well, Michigan is somewhat unique in that it has that 10-cent deposit.
Most other states are 5 cents, right?
Most other states are 5 cents. So there's double the incentive in Michigan to return the cans. And that has led to a higher redemption rate. In Michigan, I believe it's in the high 80s right now.
And at one point was at 90% or above back in 2017. Do you anticipate that because of the pandemic and the months in which we weren't redeeming these cans that ultimately we're going to see that rate go down in 2020?
I mean, to your point, there might be some people putting in the landfill, but I also think that a lot of people, because of that incentive, will hold on to them or put it in the curbside. So maybe a bit of a drop-off, but not hugely significant.
If the program in Michigan at the 10-cent level is so successful and we're seeing those higher rates, why aren't the other nine states doing it at 10 cents, and why aren't the other 40 states participating at all?
You know, I think that that's something that a lot of states are grappling with now, is how do we better manage our waste? And I think we're going to see increased attention on that. In terms of our part, we wrote an op-ed back in March where we laid out our best practice principles for what makes an efficient, effective deposit system, so that as states and others think about how do we reform our system, should we put in a deposit system, that we have our best practices out there for people to consider.
And as we move forward, obviously, environmental stewardship is becoming at the fore of our national conversation. You've mentioned the economic impacts and environmental benefits, and if I can dive just a little bit more into that with you.
Sure.
How does this recyclable process with cans and bottles, how does that make a difference for the ultimate betterment of our air, our land, and our water?
David, I think it goes back to what I was saying earlier, that greenhouse gas emissions and energy savings from making recycled material, I mean, that sort of significant decline is unique to cans. And the other thing I'd point out is that metal recycles forever. So you can get that impact over and over again when you recycle cans. And the other thing is that the recycling process for cans is very efficient. You lose maybe 1 or 2%. With PET, you lose a third of it during the process, and you don't have the kind of significant savings that I was discussing.
Everything is interconnected in one way or another. So while we go through these recycle programs and we can prove that there are benefits in a myriad of ways, one of the things we have to do is transport. And that, to this point, is inefficient. So as a part of the industry, what are you looking at where we might be able to remediate some of the ill effects of all of the transportation involved in the recycling programs?
Well, we're always looking at ways to reduce our carbon footprint. I mean, the best way is using recycled material. To your point about transportation, the nice thing about cans is they're so light, they pack well. I know you did an episode back in September with the city of Ypsilanti where they had cut glass because it was heavy, you know, tough to process, not so valuable. And you know, some other materials, it's heavier and it's harder to transport. So there's that additional issue on the transportation side.
So as we reopen the economy and head towards a full recovery in the state of Michigan and across the country, what is your forecast for the can industry? Is everything looking up?
We're having a moment right now, David, where, yes, people are buying more cans because they're at home, but also people are looking to cans as that alternative to some other packaging types, where they see the can as a product that's made of material that recycles forever and that delivers significant savings, because they know that when the can is put in the recycling, Recyclers love them because it's so valuable, and we love them too because then we get cans back we can make new cans from.
So if I take a peek in your refrigerator, am I going to find any bottles or is it all cans?
It's all cans all the way, David. I've drunk the canned Kool-Aid, and it's real. You know, like I was saying, that it's unique in having that significant environmental and economic impact. We process cans today at scale, and metal recycles forever so we can keep having it over and over again.
Scott, I'd like to thank you so much for the time and the perspective today. I do appreciate it. It was very informative.
Thank you for having me, David.
That is Scott Breen, Vice President of Sustainability for the Can Manufacturers Institute, our guest on Issues of the Environment. This weekly feature is produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner. You hear it every Wednesday. If you'd like to visit the Issues of the Environment archive, just go to our website at WEMU.org. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.